from God, born rebelling, born being enemies of God. Thirdly, after the bad news comes the good news, right? The good news is that Jesus Christ came down to earth living a perfect life. You're raising your hand.
I'm sorry, I forgot to
do what you're trying to do. Oh. Thanks for letting me know. Anybody else? So thirdly, that Christ came down and that he lived a perfect life, the perfect life that we needed, yet we could not live, and there was a great exchange. Yet, we said fourthly that there is a response to the gospel, that not everybody receives that free gift of eternal life, but only those who believe and repent, turn away, show fruit in their life. So that about sums it up. So now let's go into part two. Tonight we're going to talk about who is supposed to evangelize biblically. So who is supposed to evangelize? And I know I gave you this outline here. I'm going to do my best to point you to fill in the blanks. But if I miss one or two, don't worry about it. You can come up to me after it. I've given you blanks in between there in order to just fill in notes in between. Okay? All right. So I want to start tonight with a little story about my friend Ryan. And Ryan was a student at Michigan State when I was there. Like I said last week, the greatest university in the world. There it is. There's life out there. I hear it. So Ryan, his freshman year, he was transformed by God's word in a Bible study that I was a part of. And Ryan believed that God's plan for his life was bigger than just going to Bible study or just showing up to church each week. While those things are good, Ryan started to realize that someone had come to him with this good news. And now it was his turn to take that good news to someone else. And so because someone had stepped out, Ryan knew it was his turn. So he started to go with his leader into the dorm, knocking on doors. And the way that we did this at Michigan State and the Campus Crusade movement is we had spiritual survey cards that we surveyed the students early on in the semester. And so it was like from 1 to 5, fill out how interested you are in spiritual things. And people would fill out 5, I'm most interested. 1, I'm not interested at all. Please leave me alone. The second one was like, how interested are you in hearing about a relationship with God? People would fill that out. How interested are you in hearing about a Bible study in your dorm? Something like that. And so what we would do is we would filter out these cards. People who filled out 3 to 5, we would hold on to those. And 1 to 2s, we would just kind of push those to the side. And so we would knock on the doors of the 3 to 5s, and we would say, has anyone ever sat down with you and explained how you can have a personal relationship with God? After we said hi, of course, and we're here with this card. And so Ryan's life was being transformed to be a partaker of God's work and not just a consumer. So a couple years later, Ryan's he hears about an opportunity to go to the Middle East to share this good news with Muslims who may have never heard about it before. He signs up and God raises all his support to go. And a week before he goes, guess what? He breaks his ankle playing basketball.
Ankle broke.
Yes. So Ryan had a choice now. He could go and hobble around on crutches, taking the 10-hour flight, hobbling on uneven steps all around the city, jumping into crowded buses, or looking very silly all week, or he could just sit at home. And even some of our leaders recommended that he stay home. But Ryan, knowing this burden to share the good news of Jesus Christ, he went. And by God's grace, God used that to sow his seeds around the world. So this story isn't meant to illustrate how good of a Christian Ryan is. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. But rather to show that there are many obstacles to sharing God's word. But faith always involves some type of risk. Faith always involves some type of risk, some type of stepping out. So it doesn't mean that you have to go all the way across the world to share the faith personally, but it does mean that maybe you should go across the room. We are always stepping out in some way. So let me pray, and then we'll get into it in our outline. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you that you are holy, 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 and there is no one like you. There is no one like you. And we proclaim your name, and we praise you that you have loved us beyond what we can even fully understand sometimes. Thank you that you have chosen us. Thank you that you have laid your life down for us, that we might experience eternal life. And I pray that we would understand what you want us to hear tonight. In your name, amen. All right, so let's get in this outline here. So who is supposed to evangelize? First, there were evangelists in the Bible. So I want to be very clear. There were people in the Bible, and they were called evangelists. That's the first blank there. And they are said to have the gift of evangelism. They are said to have the gift of evangelism. So we each have individual spiritual giftings. It doesn't always look the same. So this is something that we're a little bit more passionate about or naturally good at. And you find that out over time. So some of you are good at school. You know who you are. You're those good at school kids. Yeah. Some of you are good at sports. Some of you are good at music. And that is not me. 100%. I don't know. I don't know music. Some of you are good at conversation. Some of you are good at hospitality, at serving, and many other giftings. So the point of tonight is not to figure out your giftings. Maybe that's another time. The point is to show you that there are people called evangelists in the Bible, and they had that gifting and that calling, and they went out, and they went out from village to village sharing this good news. Secondly, we see in your outline here, the apostles devoted themselves specifically to the word, to the ministry of the word and prayer. Specifically to the ministry of word and prayer. So I know you're going through Acts right now in your Sunday school, right? Yes. It's confirmed by Pastor Nick. So we have in Acts 6, there were seven people chosen to kind of stay behind and serve for the needs of the community. These would be the deacons. And then the apostles were to go forth in the ministry of word and prayer. And so there are different people doing different roles. We see that in Scripture. Each person has a role inside of that body, and just as each part has a role, each body has a part, right? So we have the finger cannot move without the brain. Yeah, that works. I was thinking joints. And the joints can't move without the hand, and the hand can't move without the arm, and they're kind of useless separate from one another. So each person serves a role, and that role is not greater than the other one. There is no role that is greater in value or purpose. What matters is that we serve our role. And it does not mean that we're any more or less of a follower. All right, so moving on to three. Paul had a role in which he was called to preach the gospel specifically to the Gentiles, and Peter specifically to the Jews. So like I said, the apostles had a specific role within the kingdom of God that will never, ever be replicated by you and I. These apostles had a specific role given by God that was only during that time. So Paul was called in Galatians 2:8 specifically to the Gentiles, Peter specifically to the Jews. Now, that doesn't mean that they were only ever always with them. But what it means is that they spent a majority of their time ministering to the Gentiles or the Jews. So, for example, Joe's sister Anna is a missionary in Togo, West Africa. She is called to be there because she is there. And so that doesn't mean that Anna is only ever always called to the Togolese. What it means is that she's spending a majority of her time doing that. And so if she comes back to America, she can't just say, I'm only ever called to the Togolese. I'm not going to share the good news where I am. So in another sense, the word apostle just means messenger. But in this sense, it was eyewitnesses. So the apostles of Jesus' time, they created a foundation for the church that they wrote down divinely inspired messages, which we call scripture today. So again, those apostles had specific roles, and that was to be eyewitnesses of Jesus, and they wrote down what he said in his account. And we rely upon their accounts, that specific role. All right, so now we're going to move on to number two, the big number two. The call to evangelize is not limited to Paul, the apostles, or the evangelists, but is for all Christians. Let me say that one more time. The call to evangelize is not limited to Paul, the apostles, or the evangelists, but is for all Christians. So again, just because someone has the gifting of evangelism or someone does not have the gifting, the natural abilities, whatnot, it does not exempt them from evangelism. So whether or not you have the gift doesn't exempt you from doing it. So, underneath that, Jesus gave a final commission to his disciples. So, if you open your Bibles with me to Matthew 28. Would someone read that when they have that? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Will, would you stand up and read that when you get it? Perfect. Thank you. Have you guys heard this passage before?
Yeah,
it's a common passage. So what Jesus is saying here for all believers is that our command is to make disciples. So we are disciples who make disciples. It's a constant pattern. We're never meant to only consume the Word of God. We're meant to share it with others. And both are important. All right, so moving on to the back. The early disciples took this to heart and told the good news of Jesus Christ constantly. So over and over again, we see these disciples of Jesus continuing a consistent pattern of teaching. They weren't just sitting in a room talking about it, although that was important. They consistently went out and interacted with people who had never heard this, who were confused about this message. They were constantly, over and over again. The natural progression, like we talked about last week, if you love Jesus, if we love Jesus, we're going to naturally talk about him. And I know that that takes time and it doesn't always look pretty. But over time, if we love Jesus, what you love, you talk about. And so that's what these disciples did. It's not something they gave up on. It wasn't a momentary fad. What's a fad? Somebody tell me what a fad is.
It's a temporary hobby or interest of a person.
Yeah. That's good, Alex. So it comes up once, right? Yeah. All right, so let's take a flashback. The 2000s. A popular fad. Snuggie. You guys know what Snuggies are? Who does not know what a Snuggie is? All right, so a Snuggie is like a blanket. It's like a blanket with arms, right? And so you could sit down. Yeah. And so you're able to pick up a drink, right, and play with the TV remote. The only problem with a Snuggie is that when I go over to open the refrigerator, I still have to hold the Snuggie on and open the refrigerator. It's kind of annoying. So clearly it didn't last. All right, here's another one from the 2000s. Livestrong wristbands. Remember those? Nope. Okay. So Lance Armstrong, before he was found out to be a cheater in cycling, he was a famous and very successful cyclist, and he got cancer. And so he started this organization called Livestrong, which was actually a really cool thing. It brought a lot of attention and a lot of popularity and a lot of funds towards cancer research. And so everyone wore these live free bands. If you were, or live strong, if you were cool, you had a live strong band. And you better believe I had one of those. All right, here's another one from the 2000s. Croc shoes. Crocs are coming back. Don't bring them back. So you all know. All right, let's move ahead to now, the fads now. Oh, that would have been a good one. Angry Birds. All right, you shoot the bird into the pigs. I think it's a movie now or something too. It's crazy, it's blown up. All right, how about this one? Bottle flipping. It's still popular. Bottle flipping. So I'm gonna tell you, these things are popular now, but 20 years from now, you're not gonna remember them.
You forgot two.
Or your kids will not remember these or know these. All right, here's the last one. I've been working on this all day. Dabbing. In 20 years, this will be gone. No. All right. So all jokes aside, my point is that evangelism, listen up, evangelism didn't fade. It wasn't a fad. Because these early believers partook in it, and we are still following their examples 2,000 years later. For the rest of your lives, following Christ will include some type of evangelism. For the rest of your lives, following Christ will include some type of reaching out to the lost. It's a natural part of Christianity. And it's not just for the Pastor Nicks of the world, or John, or Matt, or Paula, the leaders. It's not just for them. It's not just for the older generation. Evangelism is the command and the instruction for all believers. The command and instruction for all believers. All right, so moving on to the next one. All believers have received this commission. Christians are sent ones by God into the world as ambassadors for Christ. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 5:20. All Christians are sent ones by God into the world as ambassadors for Christ. So get this. We are God's ambassadors to the world. We are God's representatives to the world. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't work apart from us. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. But God allows his followers to join in his work. So what happens when he saves someone who was lost, who was broken, who was in sin, is that he unites them with him and he puts them in a body of believers to grow, and then he sends them back to where they came from in order to go back and tell this good news. So it's the cycle of coming to know him, and then they go back to see how many more are broken and lost and in sin. Just think about that for a minute. You are called by God to be a part of his work. God uses you to speak his word. That's pretty exciting. And also an incredible responsibility. All right, so in Acts 4, you don't have to turn there, but Peter and John are told not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus after evangelizing, to which they answer in Acts 4:20, "For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They just cannot stop talking about this. So this is a horrible metaphor, but I'm going to use it because I couldn't come up with another one. So think about if you saw a ghost in the woods. You'd be shocked. Exactly. You'd be shocked. You'd go back and you'd say, "I just saw a ghost in the woods." Right? In a similar way, they didn't see a ghost. They saw God himself. And they could not stop talking about it. And in the same way that they saw God himself, you know God. You know him. And we cannot but talk about him. So they were witnesses to what Christ had done, and they could not lie. In a similar way, when someone comes to know Christ, they cannot stop talking about him. It didn't matter what people thought about them. All they wanted to do was talk about him. That's what the early disciples did. So we have seen something out of this world, and we cannot lie about it. There is nothing in the world like the message of Jesus Christ. Nothing. All right, lastly, third point. Evangelism is more about your love for God and people than it is about your gifting. Evangelism is more about your love for God and people than it is your gifting. So you don't have to be someone special to reach out to your friends, to your family, to your classmates. All that God asks is that you're faithful. You don't have to be the best talker, the most social person, but he asks for faithfulness. And get this, you can reach people that I can never reach. You can reach people that Pastor Nick can never reach, because you have a specific place in your lives, specific people that you interact with that Pastor Nick is probably never going to see, that Matt is never going to see. You have a specific place and a specific role, and you have a platform because you have friends and family and classmates. So God is sending you back into your classrooms and your friendships with the good news. to be a witness in word and in deed to what Christ has done in your life. And next week, we're going to talk more about how that's done. But this week, we just want to talk about who should evangelize. And so lastly, it's not on the sheet, but he doesn't just send you alone. He sends you in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of God, which is the gospel. So he doesn't just send you alone. You are sent in the power of the Holy Spirit, and God promises that when you go out, he will be with you. God promises that when you go out, he will be with you. So let me close in prayer. You can keep writing if you'd like. Father God, thank you for this reminder that we don't have to be somebody special or having a certain high gifting in order to evangelize. We just pray that you would remind us that all we need to be is faithful, Lord. All we need to be is faithful to what you have said, and you will do the rest. This is your work. It's not ours. We are just a partaker of it, and it's amazing that you would even allow us to be a part of this work. It's crazy to have a front row seat to what you are doing. Give us courage and give us a willingness to go forth and even to ask more questions about this in our groups. Guide the leaders as we go our separate ways now. In your name, amen. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. You can also just call me IC if you'd like. Intern Chad.